This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Hey, Diamond Hogs Podcast listeners, Mason Choate here with Robert Stewart. Need to let everybody know that if you want to listen to the podcast, all you have to do is search Hogbeat Podcast Network wherever you get your podcast, and that's where you will find all of the latest Diamond Hogs Podcast episodes. We made the switch, I think last year it was. So if you just search Hogbeat Podcast Network, you will find the podcast. If you search Diamond Hogs Podcast, you're going to get our old stuff back from 2022. So Hogbeat Podcast Network, it's HAWGBEAT.com. Robert.
And also, if you're looking to watch the video version of this podcast on YouTube, don't search it on YouTube. Look on hogbeat.com, as Mason just mentioned. You'll find it there. We unlist them. We mark them as unlisted because, ads, revenue, not important stuff. But bottom line is, if you're looking to watch the video version, go to hogbeat.com. The links are always posted there. You will always be able to find them. Again, HAWGBEAT.com.
Yes, Robert had it. That's the key word, HAWGBEAT.com, hogbeat.com. Search it anywhere. When you're getting your podcast, Hogbeat. When you're searching the YouTube, Hogbeat. Just go to Hogbeat and you will find it there, hogbeat.com. That's what it is. That's where you find all of our stuff. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined, as always, by Robert Stewart. And the number one Diamond Hogs have a big series this weekend against the number eight LSU Tigers, the reigning national champions, the Paul Skeenless. They're Skeenless, they're crewless, but they do have Tommy White, and they do have a really good ace, and it's going to be a really fun matchup on Thursday, Robert.
Yeah, here's the thing. Obviously, Skeens and Cruz went 1-2 overall in the MLB draft last year, right? Number one most of the year, reigning national champs. There was a lot of hype going into last year's series, that being a top five battle, I think week two of the season in the SEC season in Baton Rouge. I don't think I had paid enough attention to how stacked LSU is again. Like, obviously, they were high in the rankings, right? But, you know, I put stock into the fact that they're 2-4 to start SEC play, right? So they've dropped to number eight, but I'm doing my research this morning, and this team is still very much loaded. All three starting pitchers are in MLB.com's top 50 draft prospects. Obviously, Tommy White, like you mentioned, he's in the top 10. We know what he can do, being the freshman home run leader at NC State, coming in, raking again in Baton Rouge last year. He's doing it yet again as a junior. This matchup in Fayetteville should draw 12,000 to 13,000 every single day. This is going to be some high quality baseball. And by the way, last year's LSU series was, I guess, maybe the night before it started was the Sweet 16 game against UConn. But no basketball distractions this year. Everybody tune into baseball. This is going to be some awesome stuff in Fayetteville. If you're not going to the series and you live in Northwest Arkansas, you're killing me.
This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
All right, a little emergency interruption to the podcast because we recorded most of it before Dave Van Horn spoke on Wednesday, and now it's after Dave Van Horn spoke, and we know that the starting rotation looks a little bit different. Same three pitchers, but now you're going to see Hagen Smith in game one. As expected, that's still the same. Brady Tigers moving to game three, though. So we're going to see Mason Molina move up to game two on Friday. Tiger will pitch on Saturday. Per Dave Van Horn, no injury with Tiger. They just want to give him a little bit more rest. Robert.
I don't have a problem with it. He and Molina both had maybe unusual starts compared to what they've done throughout the season to this point. So, switch it up, change the mojo a little bit. See what happens. I don't think it's a bad move.
Yes. Here's the direct quote from Dave Van Horn. He said they want to let Tiger get everything straightened up and feel really good. Nothing wrong with him. He said, I feel great about Brady. His stuff's good. Competes hard. I think that he's had a little bit of command issues with his fastball. He gets that straightened out. He'll be good to go. I have all the confidence in the world in him. Sounds like everything's all right.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, like, you know, I just mentioned it was a little different, right? His last start, but Dave Van Horn, better than anybody, knows what Brady Tiger is capable of doing, right? Give him a, you know, a change of mojo, something. He'll get it together, and I don't expect that one bad start will turn into two.
Okay, well, that's about all there is to it. There's not really much else to say, because you're just changing the day, and it's the same pitchers. But we couldn't put the podcast out without at least mentioning it. We had to talk about it.
Yeah, it's unclear as of this moment when I'm talking right now where this segment's going to go, but just ignore the part where I talk about Hurd and Molina throwing against each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you say Turd or Hurd? I can't remember.
I said Hurd.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's back to the regularly scheduled program.
The Diamond Hogs podcast is the premier Razorback baseball podcast.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun weekend in Fayetteville, and we're going to break all of it down here on the podcast. But before we do, I want to talk to you about hogbeat.com. That is HAWGBEAT.com. The Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks, and it is what powers the Diamond Hogs podcast, your favorite Razorback baseball podcast. It would not exist if it wasn't for hogbeat.com. So thank you to Hogbeat, and I highly encourage you to check it out. Just go over there, type it into your web browser, and look, it's a lot of cool information. If you like the Razorbacks, if you enjoy listening to this podcast, basically it's in word form on Hogbeat. So check it out, and it's not just baseball. You also get the football and basketball content over there as well. Spring football in the full swing of things. I'm a football guy, so I enjoy writing about football, and if you enjoy reading about football, there's plenty of it on hogbeat.com. And also check out our YouTube, because we got all of our practice videos from football, as well as press conferences with players and coaches. And we also have the video version of the Diamond Hogs podcast there, but it is unlisted. So you have to go to hogbeat.com specifically to watch the podcast. And also, Bet Saracen, want to remind you about Bet Saracen, the mobile sports gambling partner of the Saracen Casino Resort, and also hogbeat.com. Here's the thing, folks. They offered, for the first time in a while, the double R props were pretty good, honestly, for the Arkansas-Little Rock game on Tuesday. And if you hypothetically would have taken, let's see, which one was it? Oh, Vahiva Aloy over half a hit, half an RBI. That would have cashed because he hit a grand slam. So that works out easy. And you would have made some money. I think it was like plus 210 or something like that. So download Bet Saracen, get on those double R props. You can only get those in the state of Arkansas and only on Bet Saracen. So thank you to Bet Saracen, and gamble responsibly, please. I feel like I need to say that. Okay. So I mentioned that Little Rock game on Tuesday. Robert, you know, I went into this one and I was expecting, like, you know, if Arkansas loses this game, I would not be very shocked. You know, Little Rock was throwing a guy who had 25 strikeouts to one walk on the year. That was their starter. He was really good, and then he comes out and he, what, three walks and a hit by pitch, something along the lines of that?
Two walks, two hit batters. So, yeah, it was a quick day for old Austin Stubber. Two-thirds of an inning, only gave up one hit, but two of those free passes did end up hurting him. Interesting play there in the first with the sack fly to the shortstop. Don't see that too often. But yeah, I mean, it was yet another example of a midweek game where the Hogs don't really do much in terms of putting the ball in play. Only six hits on the afternoon. I mean, four of them, is that right? Four of them happened to be home runs. Yeah.
Yes.
And three came in one inning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, just a case of take what they give you, right? They walked eight guys, the Trojans did. As you mentioned, a couple of hit batsmen in the first inning as well. You got a couple more. Ryder Helfrich wore a couple in addition to those first two. So, yeah, I mean, 12 free passes in six trips to the plate for the Hogs. So they, you know, they just did a good job of getting them all home, I guess, right?
Yeah, 12 free passes for Arkansas and zero free passes for the Little Rock Trojans. The Arkansas pitchers, and Ben Bibee making his first appearance of the year. Dylan Carter, I don't know, second or third. Christian Fouch hasn't thrown in forever. Three guys trying to get on the weekend roster. And, I mean, you can't – I mean, the flawless is the word. You know, really, it just was flawless.
Yeah, I mean – maybe they didn't throw a perfect game, but it was pretty darn good, right? You know, you can't expect to be perfect every time. Yeah, like
no,
you said.
No, but I, in my opinion, I mean, like, you know, it's pretty impressive to not give up a single walk or hit by pitch, no matter who you're playing against.
Without a doubt, when the only two base runners you give up are standalone singles in separate innings, you absolutely take that. Like, I'm not trying to discredit that in any way, for sure. Classic case of you know, take advantage of the walks, the hit by pitch on offense. Classic case of nothing really going for the opposing offense, right? Like you said, all those guys who pitched for the first time in a while, chief among them Ben Bibee making his season debut, really encouraging stuff from him, right? 5 strikeouts in 3 innings. Dylan Carter needed a bounce back outing after his last time out. I can't remember when it was, but it feels like a while ago. Two innings for him, zeros in all the other important categories, which you'll always take, even if that includes strikeouts. Christian Fauch, scoreless frame for him as well, worked around a one out single. And then Stone Hewlett, by the way, didn't mention him. He went more than one batter, got all 3 guys he faced. So that all important first strikeout, right? So he could have been done after that one because that's what he does, right? But yeah, honestly, 2 for 23 for Little Rock on the day. So really, really strong outing from the maybe B-list pitchers for these Hogs, and excited to see what's in store this weekend.
Yes, and look, I went into this game, you know, not really. I think I said it earlier, I would not have been surprised if Arkansas lost this game. It was just, you know, the ultimate, because they lost to Little Rock last year. It's a good baseball team, and man, just dominance that in the bottom of the sixth. They've done this a few times now, where they just like sneak up a run rule win on you, because we're sitting there in the bottom of the sixth, like, okay, we're about to just play 9, but it'll be quick. And then they score 7 because the dude who came in for them was one of their better pitchers, I believe.
Jacob Weatherly. I'm pretty sure we had seen him before.
Yeah, so I think it was Weatherly did good against Arkansas last year. But either way, he comes in, and then in the bottom of the sixth, he gives up a hit by pitch, a walk. They change pitchers, and then Vahiva Aloy sends a ball 413 feet to center field. And that was his second Grand Slam of the year. And he came into the postgame press conference with his sunglasses on, and so that was good to see. He looked pretty cool with his he's got swag, you know, like he's got the ultimate swag,
without a doubt. And he's swinging the bat to back it up now, right? He also hit
a 107 mile an hour single in this game.
Right. It was looking a little dicey to start the year, but he's definitely on the trajectory we thought he'd be on. One quick note on Jacob Weatherly: yes, he did throw well against Arkansas last year. UALR won that game, the second of a 2-game set, 11-4. Weatherly got 14 outs, gave up 1 run, struck out 6.
Wow, pretty good.
So, anyway, back to the Hogs. Like you said, Vahiva Aloy, barreling 1 up there in the 6th. And then we haven't mentioned Jack Wagner and Will Edmondson getting their first Razorback Jack jobs.
Yes. Jack Wagner, his first appearance since March 3rd. And we actually learned from Dave Van Horn that Wagner has been dealing with a bit of an injury.
See, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was wondering why he's been MIA.
Apparently, he was taking some BP before a game and fouled a ball off his foot. I'm pulling up the DVH quote as I speak so I can make sure I'm saying it correctly. Because I heard him say on pregame radio that Wagner was in the lineup. He dealt with a bit of an injury, so I was like, okay, what happened? He said, foul the ball off his foot right before one of our series, maybe before the Missouri series. He said, we were trying to get some guys some at-bats that hadn't played a lot against some of our pitchers that needed a pitch, and it was inside, and he fouled one off straight off the top of his foot, so that put him back a bit. And then he comes in and he hits a home run. So
there you go.
He's a guy who could – he's just another DH option. I mean, look, he was potentially the starter at first base entering the season. So, you know, obviously another weapon. And then you mentioned Will Edmondson, who, heck, might be your starting center fielder now.
I mean, or left. I mean, I his body of work over the last 3 games, how do you keep him out of the lineup on Thursday? I mean, he's got to have the Ross Lovich type of regression.
You know, I'm thinking about this right now. I don't think we're going to have a guest on this episode because here's the thing. It's a quick turnaround. You know, as they say in the business, it's a quick turnaround. It says the series starts on Thursday. There's football practice this week. There was a baseball game on Tuesday. We have one day to record to get a guest. And we're recording this before the Dave Van Horn preview press conference. I say all that to say, do you want to call Hutch to get his opinions on Will Edmondson? Because he's a big Will Edmondson truther.
Absolutely. That okay. I mean, do I want to call Hutch? Yes. But then when you say why, yeah,
absolutely. You know, this is always tough because if he doesn't pick up, it's really embarrassing for me. But I think he's always picked up when I've called him live on the podcast.
I was about to say, I don't think he's let us down yet.
But this might be like time he's taking his kids to daycare, maybe.
Exhilarating stuff here.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Oh, no.
That's tough, man.
I'm probably going to get a text from him saying he's dropping his kids off or something.
Mm-hmm.
He probably has a good excuse. Either way, Will Edmondson, I think he should be in the lineup. But this was a game that I thought I was going to see Jason Jones play in. There was a bet, Saracen prop bet, and hypothetically, I thought some people might be taking that prop bet. Luckily, if they don't play, it's voided. But Jason Jones, I mean, I don't know, man. I think we can kind of go ahead and transition into this because Arkansas wins 11-0, shutout win, you know, 20-3 on the year. Good for that. Let's move on to some of this. Let's do some roster cleanup because it's starting to get to where, you know, the weekend rosters are a big deal.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So, Jason Jones, what do we do with Jason Jones? It's one of those things where it's like, do you know if a guy's dealing with an injury? We didn't know Wagner had an injury. Maybe Jason Jones has something. I don't know. But I feel like this was the perfect game to play him, but also you had to play Wagner and you had to play Edmondson. I don't know.
Right. So this is an interesting discussion. Of course, we've always had the, you know, who do you start on the weekends, right? But now it's also a matter of who do you start in the midweeks, right? The bench is so deep. And like you said, it did feel like the perfect opportunity to get Jones some work. Especially seeing as he didn't really show up in Auburn, right? It was Edmondson who, you know, he's got the hot bat. Keep him rolling ahead of, you know, what's probably going to be the biggest series of his life to this point. And then Ross Lovich, you want to get him back in the action after, you know, he started so hot, but then had a bad game. Bring him back, see what happens. I get that. That didn't really work out. He went over 3, wore 1. But like, man, it was also a good chance to get Jones. It's hard even when you're dealing with a game that's not that important in the grand scheme of things. It's the lineup decisions are still tough. Who do you rest? Who do you not rest? Who do you get work that normally wouldn't get work otherwise? I don't envy Dave Van Horn. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, Dave was asked about it after the game, the basically just the left field position battle situation with Edmondson and Lovich and Jones. And he basically said, I wish somebody would just take that position and just start tearing it up so I don't have to even think about it. But right now we'll just kind of look for the matchup probably.
Again, good problem to have, right? You know, there are worse things you could deal with as a manager, but man, that is tough. I get it, right? It looked like Lovich was running away with it. He drops a ball, he goes over, all of a sudden Will Edmondson decides he's going to be the guy, right? So, I mean, I think until further notice, it's Will Edmondson, but by the time you hear from us next, maybe it's Jason Jones. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of being just super, super deep. I mean, Ben Bibee, dude, that's a guy who's got to be on the weekend. He was like 90, 92, 94 on the fastball. The off speed was working great. He was locating pitches. And I mean, he had a hamstring early. It happened during one of the preseason scrimmages. He was dealing with that, and then he gets mono. And then, you know, that takes forever to get healthy from. And here he is making his season debut on March 26th, and he throws 3 scoreless and strikes out 5. I mean, what do you do, man? If you're Dave Van Horn and you're cutting down your weekend roster, you're taking out, you're taking out pitchers who could win you games. You just have to. You don't have a choice. You have to take out pitchers who could win you games. Like Dylan Carter, think about how many games Dylan Carter won Arkansas last year, and he probably won't be on the weekend roster. I mean, he might be, but I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. I just pulled up the 2023 stats because I was curious about this as far as Ben Bibee goes, but the same applies to Dylan Carter, right? These are two guys with SEC experience under their belts already. That can't be said for many of the guys, or not many, but some of the guys on the roster. Cody Frank included, by the way, right? He didn't make it to SEC play last year. Dylan Carter went 22 1/3 in league last year. ERA a little bit over 4, 10 earned runs in that time. Bibee's ERA was much steeper, but he still got 7 2/3 under his belt, right?
And you also have to think, sorry to interrupt you, both of those, that was the first real SEC play experience for either one of those guys, because Dylan Carter, that was the first year he ever threw meaningful innings. I think it might have been the first year he threw innings. And then obviously Bibee, Ben Bibee was a true freshman, so
yeah. 30 innings between them. That's, you know, even if it didn't go as well as they wanted, I mean, hard to complain in Dylan Carter's case, right? But Ben Bibee, you know, the Georgia experience, whatever. Even if it didn't go as they wanted, it's still valuable to have that experience moving into 2024.
And also imagine being Little Rock and you're like, all right, we're gonna bus up to Fayetteville on Tuesday. And we're going to play the Hogs. We beat them last year. And then the starting pitcher is this dude who hasn't thrown all year, and he's just pumping 96 in warmups. And then Dylan Carter comes in, and you're like, all right, we're starting to see it, because Dylan Carter's the ultimate, just give up loud contact outs. And they're like, all right, we're feeling good. And then they bring in this second-year pitcher who throws 98, and Dave says in the press conference that Fausch could throw 100 if he wanted to.
And by the way, he's still got that devastating splitter.
He has a splitter, and you know what? He's developed a sinker. And Dave said the sinker was touching 96 on Tuesday, and he called it a pitch that could make Fauch's career if he can really get a hold of it.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't too many guys that throw the splitter in the first place, right? So of course that's an advantage. We've heard that going back a couple falls now. Add anything that works routinely into that mix, and yeah, he's gonna have a nice career for sure. Here's another thing though, the mindset, like you mentioned, UALR on the way to Fayetteville. Colin Fisher on Saturday threw 2 2/3, right? The guy who has been starting midweeks routinely for the Hogs to this point in the season. You're like, okay, we don't have to deal with him, right? But surprise, you get the best version of Ben Bibee in his season debut.
Yeah, and then Hutch is calling me, by the way.
Oh, Hutch, let's go.
Okay. Hey, Hutch. This is Mason Choate. You're live to tape on the Diamond Hogs podcast. Robert Stewart's with me. we wanted to call you because we were talking about the left field battle, and I, you know, you're a big Will Edmondson supporter, so I figured I would let you give your case for Will Edmondson to be just an everyday starter in the outfield in general.
Well, I think Dave Van Horn himself made a pretty good case, if he intended to or not, last night, whenever he said, you kind of know what you're going to get with Will Edmondson. You're probably going to get one hit and maybe a walk. And, you know, he gets on base. He hits the ball hard, if not maybe, like, you know, out of the ballpark. You know, I know he got the home run yesterday, but that was his first of the year. But, I mean, I feel like he hits the ball pretty solidly most of the time, and I just think he's probably of the three guys, probably the most consistent. I mean, he doesn't hit the ball as hard as Jason Jones, but Jason Jones is also going to strike out a bunch. Roslovich, I just am not as big of a believer in him. I know he had a really good weekend against Missouri, but maybe that was, you know, all inspired by the fact that it's his former team and he's playing his brother and all that good stuff. So, to me, it just seems like Will Edmondson might be the best guy. And maybe he ends up playing center field if Ty Wilsmeyer can't, you know, get it all together. But I think Dave really likes his defense. So, I just really like Will Edmondson. All the dude does is hit. He did it at JUCO. He did it in summer ball. Did it in the fall. And, I mean, I think he's hitting, like, 270-something, which isn't, like, you know, just incredible. But He's hit the ball lately, that's for sure.
Okay. All right, that's all we needed to hear. Thank you very much for backing up Will Edmondson.
No problem.
All right, Hutch, have a good one.
Good stuff.
That dude's the worst. Yeah, no, I agree. I think Edmondson at the moment should, I mean, like, he should probably continue to be in the lineup.
I'm going back through the game log here because I'm curious about it. He said all he does is hit the ball, which over the last three games, right? We've seen it. He's on that streak. This is not something I've considered before. Can if a guy like comes into, we really should have asked this question. Oh well. If a guy comes into a game as a pinch runner and stays in for defense or doesn't stay in for defense, maybe he just pinch runs, which Edmondson has done several times this season. Does that like count as, or a defensive replacement, does that count as like a game that breaks the hit streak if he doesn't get an at bat? I don't think it should.
Yeah, I don't think it should either. I think if you don't get in at bat, I mean, you don't have a chance, you know?
Right. I agree. Okay. So using that logic, I'm counting the hit streak here. I've got four games. He had a pinch hit appearance that did not go well. I can't tell when this is based on my spreadsheet, but bottom line is his last four starts, he's had a hits. So
okay,
we'll call it a four game hit streak for Will Edmondson.
Yeah, you know, as we've mentioned, a good problem to have if you're Dave Van Horn in the Arkansas Razorbacks. You're 20-3 right now. You're 5-1 in conference play. You're the number one team in the country. And now you got LSU coming to town. So let's transition to that. And before we do, let's remind you about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. That is the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. I talk about it all the time. I'm going to continue to talk about it. And I hope that you just check it out. Just check it out. Just do one story. Just give us one shot. And I promise you that you'll be like, holy crap, this is actually probably the best writing I have ever read in my life. And then you'll be hooked. You will be hooked on hogbeat.com, and then you'll subscribe to the Trough message board, which is where we have all of the latest information on those hoop hogs who everybody is very curious about right now. I did see Hunter Yurecek at practice on Tuesday, football practice, that is, not basketball practice. So that is a man who I'm sure is probably pretty frustrated with like every tweet that's going out about college basketball head coaching carousel. Anyways, all that good stuff on hogbeat.com if you want to keep up with it, because we're not going to talk about it on this podcast. So what we will talk about, though, is Bet Saracen. That is my favorite mobile sports gambling app. Because I live in the state of Arkansas, I can get those double R props. I do not place bets on the double R props, but I do check them out. I write about them, and I might tell you which one I like the most. And if you want all of that good stuff, you can go on Bet Saracen. Just gamble responsibly. Download the app wherever you get your mobile apps. And like I said, gamble responsibly, but have some fun as well. So, all right, big weekend. Number one, Arkansas. Number eight, LSU. The Tigers won 2 out of 3 in Baton Rouge last year.
Last year, yes.
Yes, that's, yeah, I don't know why you would shake your head at me when I'm talking.
You didn't say last year. Yeah, I thought you were talking about last weekend. That's my fault. I'll own it.
Yeah, own that one. And then the Hogs also did pick up a win over the Tigers in Hoover. The only team has to be the only team that got two wins in a game that Paul, two wins against LSU with Paul Skeens starting on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, not many teams got one, and Arkansas had two. So
yeah. So who's the real national champion, folks? Anyways, Arkansas. LSU this weekend, a different LSU team like we talked about. So, Robert, I will let you take it.
A different LSU team, but an LSU team that's still mighty good. Like, don't be like me and be distracted by their 2-4 conference record, right? On the last episode, we were sort of doing a minute-by-minute update situation with the LSU-Florida series finale. It was a rubber match. LSU won the opener. Florida won an extras Friday night, or I guess there was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. So that was Saturday that they won. And then, you know, it was like, oh, it's 2-1 Florida. Oh, it's 4-1 Florida, 6-1. Florida ends up run ruling LSU in 8 innings, I believe, to win that series. So LSU is now 2-4. At one point in some polls, they were number one in the country. They've fallen to number 8 in D1. So, you know, they're a little bit cold. Right, they lost to Mississippi State on the road the first week of league play, and then just dropped a 2-3 to Florida at home. And now they got to come into Fayetteville, where, as I mentioned, the crowd should be plentiful. This should be one of the top attended series at Baum Walker ever, I think. This is, you know, we're gonna be in for some really awesome baseball. It's gonna start with a pitcher's duel Friday. We're talking about you know, Bet Saracen. I, you know, who am I to offer this pick? But Luke Holman with his 0.78 ERA and Hagen Smith with his, what, 1.24? Yeah. Those two guys going against each other on Thursday. If I were a betting man, I might take the under.
Yeah, let's put it that way. The under's probably a solid choice on that one. Luke Holman, a guy who Arkansas recruited out of the portal. I mean, you know, if you want to go play the best baseball you can in the SEC, Arkansas is a school you're going to look at. He looked at Arkansas, transfer from Alabama.
That's the thing, transfer from Alabama, right? Dave Van Horn, very familiar with his work.
Yes. So, yeah, man, he's having a great year. You know, this LSU team, believe it or not, actually leads the SEC in team strikeouts, 312. Arkansas tied for second with A&M, 296 right now. So,
this is pitching strikeouts rather than
pitching strikeouts. So, and I would assume that number leads the country for LSU as well. So,
surely,
you know, they're striking out batters at a higher rate than anybody right now, which is crazy to say if you've watched Arkansas baseball this year.
Yeah, right. I actually, you know, when I was going through Holman stats, I was like, let's stack these up to Hagen Smith, right? I mentioned the 0.78 ERA. He's got Hagen Smith there. Hagen Smith's 0.72 whip is marginally better than Luke Holman. Opponents hitting 116 against Hagen Smith. That marks, you know, 40 points higher for Luke Holman. 56 strikeouts to 8 walks for Holman. 62 to 10 for Hagen Smith. So really similar stuff from these two aces. Excited to watch them go, right? The other thing I mentioned earlier is that everybody in the LSU rotation is in the top 50 in the MLB draft prospect rankings. Hagen Smith, number 15 for comparison here. Luke Holman's number 35. Their Saturday guy, who we will see on Friday, UCLA transfer lefty Gage Jump. He's number 46 in those rankings. And then Thatcher Hurd, another UCLA transfer, but we know him from last year. He is number 18 on that list. So interesting there. But yeah, Gage Jump, sub 2.5 ERA, sub 1 whip, opponents hitting 154, similar to Holman's mark there. And then Thatcher Hurd is honestly the weak spot in this rotation. He's got a 7-point ERA thus far. You know, when I mentioned on the last episode, when the score just kept going up and up, he was on the mound. I think he was responsible for 5 of those 6 runs. Opponents hitting 310 against him in 26 and 2/3 innings. So, you know, if the first 2 days don't go well, if trends continue, then maybe Arkansas will have a chance to jump on Thatcher Hurd come Saturday. But at the same time, we know what he's capable of as well. So don't be surprised to see him bounce back and, you know, just keep a string of really good pitching going for the Tigers.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking here. Thatcher Hurd ranks second in the SEC with 3 losses. So not the greatest year for him so far, but Holman, obviously, and then Gage Jump. Jump, is he in his second year with LSU?
His
first year?
I don't think he is. I don't remember his name from last year, but maybe he didn't pitch.
Well, is Thatcher Hurd also a transfer from UCLA?
Yes, he is.
Okay, that's what it was. Because I knew they had a big transfer from UCLA last year, and it was Thatcher Hurd. That's what it was.
Yeah. He must have recruited Gage Jump, right?
Yeah.
Jump was at UCLA 22 and 23. So this is his first season in Baton Rouge.
Okay. Yeah, so weird. Hurd, his first year at UCLA, I mean, 1.06 ERA, 34 innings pitched, 48 strikeouts, 10 walks. Only gave up 4 earned runs on the year, and then he goes to LSU, and he's been hit pretty hard his past 2 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not extensively familiar with his pitching style, right? So I don't want to flat out say it's fair to compare him to Jackson Wiggins, but when I see a big ERA like that and I see him in the top 20 draft prospects, that's my first thought, right?
Yeah, I can see that for sure. just a hard throwing righty who it's like if you figure it out or if it's the right day. Because I mean, on the right day, Jackson Wiggins was. I mean, when Lockdown. Jackson Wiggins was on, he was really fun to watch, dude.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. So
and,
here
and
we go.
Herd was essential to them winning the title last year for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking here at the SEC individual pitching stat leaders. Holman, you know, leads the SEC in ERA. Makes sense. Hagen Smith leads the SEC in opposing batting average. Makes sense. Hagen Smith, number one in strikeouts. Holman, number two in strikeouts. So it's definitely going to be a showdown. You think about it last year. What was it? It was Skeens versus
Hunter Holland.
Hunter Holland, yes. And then now you got Hagen Smith versus Luke Holman. It's kind of like you flipped the script because, you know, LSU had the dude, the just crazy strikeout, hard-throwing dude. And nothing against Luke Holman, but now Arkansas has that guy. And now LSU has the first-year transfer who's a really good pitcher. Maybe not the rest of the league knows about him yet. And here we go. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be so much fun. It really was a tragedy last year, that opening game in Baton Rouge. It got moved because of weather, played it at noon on a Friday. And so I don't remember if it was covered on TV or not, but this one's going to be on ESPN too, right? This is Thursday night in Baum. Pretty sure the seating capacity is larger at Baum Walker than it is at Alex Box. Don't know that for a fact, but you know, this has the makings of an all-time pitcher's duel, and I for one can't wait to watch it. On the topic of TV, if I may,
yeah,
Mason, you this may be of interest to you, right? Okay. So ESPN2 Thursday, SEC Network Friday, SEC Network Plus on Saturday. There are three games on, if I am correct about this, on Saturday. Three different games, three different time slots, right? We'll work backwards. So
what day are we on Friday?
Saturday.
Saturday. Okay.
So 7 o'clock, you've got Auburn at A&M on SEC Network. At 5 o'clock, no, excuse me, 4 o'clock, you've got Georgia at Tennessee. And then at 1 o'clock, you've got Vanderbilt hosting. Would you like to guess who Vanderbilt's hosting?
Bro, are you going to say Missouri?
I am going to say Missouri.
Oh, my gosh.
So you will not be able to see the Razorbacks on real TV on Saturday because Missouri has to be on the airwaves.
So you're telling me that Vanderbilt, Missouri starts at 1 and they're saying we're going to play that over number 1 Arkansas and number 8 LSU at 2.
That's correct.
Look, I don't know the rules on whether or not they're able to like flex this stuff or not, like the NFL can. You know, once you hit 6 weeks in the season, that's when you can start flexing games. I don't know. But that's a complete joke. And before the season, that should have been a joke. I don't care that it's Vanderbilt. It's Missouri. Anytime Missouri's playing baseball, that's a program that does not care about baseball. So why are we putting them on TV? Why would you put a program in front of a national audience that does not try? They are genuinely like, look, they might put effort into it. They put a little bit into it. They don't care about their baseball program. And they do not hide that. Openly, they admit we do not care about our baseball program. So why are you rewarding that by putting that on TV over Arkansas, LSU? And on top of all of it, Vanderbilt got swept by South Carolina last weekend.
This is precisely the rant that I was trying to invoke. So thank you for delivering.
What the heck, dude?
I don't disagree with anything you said.
Good thing I'm going to be at the game. It doesn't really affect me at all. But, I mean, it's just the principle of it, right? I mean, yeah. What day does that series start on? Is that a Thursday, Friday? I would assume it's probably all Thursday, Friday, Saturday with Easter being this weekend.
There are two games on Easter. I don't think that's one of them. Mississippi okay. State, Florida, and Georgia, Tennessee play on Sunday.
I don't know, man. That's pretty embarrassing. I mean, why would that game be on national TV in the first place? And you said the series is being played at Vanderbilt?
That's correct.
Okay, well, either no matter where the game was being played, it's a turf field.
Lousy
turf
field.
Baseball
yeah.
on a turf field. Why are we nationally televising games on turf field? Even if, okay, if Arkansas is playing at Vanderbilt, it's fine. You can nationally televise those. But that's because Arkansas brings a presence with it. It's a baseball program that matters. It's a baseball program that people care about nationally. Missouri isn't even the best baseball program in its state. Andrew Hutchinson brought that up to me yesterday. Missouri State's a better baseball program by far than Missouri is. There's probably other baseball programs in the state of Missouri too, like Southeast SEMO. SEMO is probably better than Missouri.
Also, it's neither South nor East, so it shouldn't be in the Southeastern Conference. I realize that I need to get over my geographic qualms with conference realignment these days, but you know, that's really, it boils down to that for me.
Arkansas, Arkansas played three games against Missouri. Missouri scored one run and gave up 23.
A solo home run, I might add.
Yeah, and they had, what, like six hits across the whole series, something along the lines of that?
Maybe just, eight.
It's non-competitive baseball. That's what they play. What is their record? They're horrible. Schedule.
10-14.
10-14. And what are they in conference play? 1-5? Who'd they beat?
10-15, sorry.
They beat Kentucky. I think they won one game over Kentucky.
Yes,
so they own the only conference loss that Kentucky has.
Kentucky, by the way, the only other 5-1 in the SEC.
That's gross. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, it's bad, man. It's not good. If we can't have a guest on, at least we got an inspired Mason rant out of this episode.
Yeah, anytime you give Missouri priority over Arkansas and anything baseball related, that's just a joke. An absolute joke. I'm looking at record attendances for Alex Box and Baum. Looks like Baum has Alex Box beat by about 400. So
that's closer than I thought, honestly.
Yeah. So it should be a huge weekend. Two of the games nationally televised, one of them not. We know that now. And yeah, man, the weather's going to be good.
A triple header on Saturday, and Arkansas is not one of them. The fact that there's going to be a triple header on the SEC network on Saturday and Arkansas doesn't get the slot over Missouri is crazy.
Yeah, they need it. If they were smart, they would do. You remember when Aaron Judge was doing his home run thing and they kept doing the live look ins? They just needed to do a live look in to Arkansas LSU. And then it's like once you get to like the third inning of Arkansas LSU, kind of transition it to where that game's playing more than the.
Anytime there's a two-strike count and you can see a strikeout from Holman or Smith.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea at all.
Well, but this is Saturday, so never mind. That's
the
wrong pitchers. But, you know, same vibe, right? It'll be Thatcher Hurd and Mason Molina Saturday, allegedly.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. It could be good.
Okay. Are we going to refrain from calling Thatcher Hurd his other name?
Are you going to say Thatcher Turd?
Yeah. I can't help but not think it when you say it. And that he's kind of been throwing like that, you know.
I mean, that's – sure. I just know you too well. I knew that's where you were going with that.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else about this series, though? Because, look, it's kind of one of those where let's just watch it and enjoy it and have fun.
Yeah. Without a doubt. You know, hopefully the second two games will be a little bit more competitive, right? Now that Dylan Cruz is out of the mix, Gavin Dugas, guys like that. But also, you know, we haven't talked much about the LSU lineup. Obviously, we hit on Tommy White. You know, he and Jared Jones are the biggest two returning names from what I can tell. Hayden Travinsky as well, the catcher, leading them in average on-base percentage, RBIs, doubles, extra base hits. A lot of guys who are, you know, walking just as much as they're striking out. Tommy White has got 7 bombs, as mentioned earlier, number 7 prospect in MLB.com's draft rankings. Jared Jones has got 10 dingers this year, 1,200 OPS. A couple newcomers of note, Stephen Milam, he's a freshman, hitting .317. And then their left fielder, Mac Bingham, in the leadoff spot, also hitting over .300. So as far as offensive stats go, LSU's are certainly more attractive than Arkansas. But, it'll be interesting to see if this LSU pitching staff, right, you said it's got the most strikeouts in the SEC and therefore probably the country. It'll be interesting to see if they can match up to what Arkansas has to offer because so far nobody's been able to do it, right? Arkansas's team ERA is sitting around 2.5, LSU around 4 right now. So something to watch for sure. Can't wait for these three games. Going to be a lot of fun. I'll hate not being there.
Yeah. Let's go to some random chatter here now that we're done previewing the LSU series. Dude, Florida's just never going to win a midweek game. They lost to Florida State. Yeah.
Is that the second time they've lost to the Seminoles this year?
I don't know.
I think they maybe played home and home on different weeks. But yeah, it's crazy, man.
They're the number six team in the country, and they're 14-10 on the year. They're 9-6 at home, and so here, let's just go through their midweeks.
They're 14-10, but they're like 4-2 in conference, aren't they?
They are 4-2 in conference play. They're literally losing every midweek game and like a game on the weekend. So they started the season.
They're 10-8 out of conference. That's crazy.
Yeah. So February 27th, lost at Stetson. That was a Tuesday. Here we go. Tuesday, March 5th, rescheduled. I'm sorry. I'm reading this in live time. Wednesday, March 6th, lost to UCF at home. Tuesday, March 12th, lost to Florida State at home. Tuesday, March 19th, lost to Jacksonville at home. Tuesday, March 26th, which was yesterday, lost in Jacksonville to Florida State.
Oh, they played in Jacksonville. Interesting.
Yeah. In 8 innings, they got run ruled. 14-3. But I mean, they beat LSU over the weekend. So
what an enigma. Yeah. That's going to be a fun series at the end of next month, by the way.
It will be. So yeah, it's so weird. Florida, number 6 team in the country, but they're 14-10. And you look at it, the rest of the top 10 SEC teams, you've got Arkansas number 1, obviously. A&M at 4, they're 21-3 on the year. Well, I guess they probably played a midweek, but Tennessee at 5, Vandy at 7, LSU at 8. SEC loaded as always, man.
Yeah, it's a gauntlet once again. Who could have seen this coming?
Yeah, who could have seen this? I did have this as well. So there's this graphic that I don't know if you saw this, but there's like a, I don't know, it's like a, I don't know how to describe it, a wave or a trend of like showing the bats that guys are using now. So I saw this really cool graphic, and I might have to, I don't know how to post it on the podcast or whatever, but if you can see this, can you see this, Robert, on my phone?
Yes.
That's each individual bat that Arkansas players used.
And is that like a lineup graphic with
it? Yeah, it's a lineup graphic of the bat that each player is using from the March 22nd game against Auburn. Isn't that so cool?
I like that a lot.
Let's see here. Vahiva Aloy swings the 2024 War Stick Bone Saber Hybrid. Jared Sprague Lott, the 2024 DeMarini Voodoo 1. Ben McLaughlin, the 2023 Marucci Cat X Connect. Nolan Souza, the 2024 Slugger Atlas. Some pretty fun bat names in here.
Without a doubt. I've got one thing that I wanted to bring up as well that I forgot to mention when we were talking about the UALR game. Can we appreciate the 14 pitch at bat that Peyton Holt worked in the first inning, ended with an RBI hit by pitch? That was cool.
Yeah, that was a long at bat. And the dude just gets on base, folks. That's all he does. Another guy that, I mean, should be in the lineup every day, but you're just so deep that he's not.
Without a doubt. I heard Jared Sprague Lott, forgot he didn't play, and I felt like I needed to bring that up. I'm sorry that I didn't during the game recap. Anyway, that's all.
That's okay. Last thing I had was the Chicago White Sox, also known as the Chicago Razorbacks at this point. They will be selling giant $15 milkshakes at baseball games this year. And this looks delicious, Robert.
Oh my gosh.
Check that out. That looks incredible. It's a giant chocolate milkshake with like some toasted marshmallows, a giant chocolate straw, ballparks in the backfield. I can just imagine Dominic Fletcher standing there in center. Or how are they going to do it? Is Benny going to play? I don't know.
I imagine Benny plays left.
Okay, so Fletcher in center. Let's see, which pitcher? Peyton Paulette on the mound.
I don't know. He might have to play right because Luis Robert, the Cuban guy, is really good in center field.
Yeah. Michael Turner catching.
True.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Cole Ramage, Chris Lanzilli.
By the way, and on the other side of town, you've got Christian Franklin in the outfield. Jordan Wicks, Arkansan on the mound.
Connor Nolan, Jackson Wiggins, 1-2 punch.
Yeah, Casey Opitz.
Casey Opitz catching them both.
This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything random that you got before we do bold predictions for the weekend, Robert?
I don't know. They should call all those guys up by May when I go see those two parks in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay. Then let's go to bold predictions for the weekend. I promise I will not predict the guy to hit two home runs this weekend. So, Robert, as always, we go to bold predictions. We do not have our bold predictions ready, so we're coming up with this and as we go. So, Robert, what you got?
Let's go with a Peyton Holt home run. Just because I was thinking about him recently. Don't know if he'll play much, but it seems like a big spot for him to deliver. Had a nice game against LSU in the SEC tournament last year. I'll say he keeps it rolling at home against the Tigers in 2024. Peyton Holt, bomb.
Is it bold enough to say Hagen Smith strikes out 15?
Yes.
Okay.
He's only done it one time.
This is the ultimate Hagen Smith, I'm better than you. I am the best pitcher in America. Because, I mean, I don't know how much noise he's going to hear. Probably more Hagen Smith noise than anything. But I feel like he just shows up for the moment all the time. Super emotional pitcher. And this is going to be the most – it's going to be on the level of the Arkansas-Oregon State game earlier in the year. It's the biggest game since then. So
precisely, right. He hasn't – you know, that was his biggest stage of 2024. He delivered and then some – this will feel like a bigger stage, even though it's not a big league ballpark. It'll be 100% capacity and then some, you know, defending national champions in town. It'll SEC cliche. It just means more. It will just mean more.
Dude, I'm just like, I'm getting chills right now sitting here thinking about Hagen. It's the top of the seventh. He's got six scoreless going. He's got two outs. Two strikes, strike three, strikeout number 15, and the crowd goes wild.
Lots of emotion going back to the first base dugout.
Oh, man.
It's going to be fun.
Daydreaming. Okay. Those are our bold predictions for the weekend. Anything else before we close this bad boy out, Robert?
No, I think we have the TV stuff already. I think we're good.
Okay. Big series this weekend for your Arkansas Razorbacks. Thursday's first pitch at 6 p.m. They're going to have fireworks. And looks like they're doing a stadium mini flag giveaway. Let's see. Here we go. Let's pull this up. March 27th, Stadium Flag Night. The flying of Razorback flags, one of Baumwalker's best traditions, is being amplified for SEC Thursday Night Baseball. Handheld stadium flags will be given away to the first 1,000 fans. Okay. And then for Friday's game, they're calling for a red out. There's going to be fireworks for that game as well. Wear red, join them at the ballpark for the Friday night showdown, where the stadium will be adorned with Razorback red for the second straight year, from the field to the stands. I'm sure that will go well. And then Sunday, they're doing a Pro Hogs pennant poster giveaway. So, pretty cool. Pennant poster. Boy,
that's,
series.
That's a lot of guys to put on one poster.
It is a lot of guys to put on
one poster. We just named the guys in Chicago.
Yeah. We did just name like all the guys in Chicago, and that's it. So, okay, big weekend. I'm excited to be at the ballpark. I will mention, I think I said this on Monday's episode, but open football practice on Saturday, too, if you want to check it out at Razorback Stadium. I believe it begins at 9. So make sure you check out hogbeat.com to confirm that time. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStew32.